when we go down the rabbit hole, we change the background and we announce that we're going down the rabbit hole.
Down the rabbit hole. Down the rabbit hole. Down the rabbit hole.
All right. And that means anything goes within, you know, respectful and those kind of things. And it also means for some of our listeners who are not fans of the interaction that we get after we go down the rabbit hole, maybe it's time to say goodnight. And thank you for everybody who is looking into it. I'm sorry, I was reading thank you everybody who joined us for the prepared parts of this broadcast. Let's see here. Back to Podbean. Banks shape the world. They've been doing this since World War I for sure. America and Russia were just two characters in their story. However deep you choose to get in this stuff, stay in the light. I've heard stories about people who choose the other path and it gets weird, to say the least. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say it without any doubt in my mind. And if you would like to change my mind, I would love you to do it, because if the World Bank is perpetuating a COVID fraud on the world, I would love to help spread the message and try and free us from such tyranny. But I'm going to say this without any fear that you're going to send me something to challenge me. You have no evidence to support any of those claims about the World Bank, about COVID being a fraud perpetuated on people, about the vaccine being a fraud being perpetuated on people. No evidence. Now, if you believe you have evidence, send it on over. It's like Red Rover. Red Rover, Red Rover, send your evidence right over. And everyone who is still with us will tell you, I will absolutely look at it. And look, I'm fine if you've come to that conclusion because you have some suspicions. But just admit that that's what it is, and don't attack those of us who would like some form of, you know, something to, you know, grab our hands on. Because what you're talking about in today's world, I consider to be an impossibility. But I'll look at it. I will actually look at it. Let's see here. Oh, now we're going into the Rothschilds. Evidence, Zompol, evidence. Chris, how do you see COVID ending? The vaccine doesn't seem to stop spread significantly. People can get it multiple times, and it has proven to be able to evolve. Well, I don't believe, even though President Trump said it hundreds of times, that it's going to go away. I think it's here to stay in our society. I would like to see it end or turn up like the flu vaccine, where you may have to get a booster every year, where at least if the virus is still around, because the majority are vaccinated, they're not going to be going to the hospital every time that they get it. That's what I would like to see. I don't dare hope for more than that, but I would like to see us get to that point where it mutates a little bit every year. Maybe there's a booster every year. I don't have much hope of herd immunity right now, and that's sad. Especially, you know, I shared with you 28% of Americans think that we're being lied to about the health effects or the adverse health effects of the vaccine. And the mandates are not going to help. The mandates are just chasing people away from the vaccine. So that's my hope. That's my hope. Zompol says, the Library of Alexandria was an archive labeled Key to the Soul. It sounds, if it's too grandiose in scale, you just won't believe it. No, Zompol, I'm simple. I don't care about how grandiose it is. Send me evidence. You made a claim that this whole COVID thing is perpetuated on us by several banks or several groups. Is it too crazy that I would ask you to substantiate that? Especially if I'm going to make a life or death medical choice based upon that? So if you're telling me you can't what I feel is happening is I've said, show me the evidence. And you're saying, oh, you won't believe it if I send you. Well, everybody on this broadcast knows that if it's viable, I will absolutely consider it. And I will change my opinion like that if there's anything that can be backed up. Let's see. Evidence, it's part of their history. Rothschilds even claim to own the monarch openly without repercussion. Oh, yeah, and in a claim, that's evidence. They also funded the exploration of the Americas. Okay, that's evidence of a COVID conspiracy. Their roots go all the way back to Egypt. That's evidence of a COVID conspiracy. I said that Epstein was a trigger. That's evidence of a COVID conspiracy. The banks I was mentioning, because you said a comment off another platform about world control, so I mentioned to other corporations. Some. Dude, make an attempt. What I'm asking for evidence is your claim that COVID is this thing that has been perpetuated on us by these organizations. I don't think you should have to go back to Egypt for that. Unless they were planning COVID since Egypt. Jenny says, good night, Jay. Love listening to your show and your point of view. Thanks, Jenny. Thanks for hanging out with us. Zompaul says, I didn't say jack about the banks and COVID. Yeah, you did. You said it's actually, well, you said it's about several organizations right there. Actually, is multiple banks and companies. BlackRock, DuPont, Vanguard. We have your text right here. So you did say jack about banks. It's right there, dude. Actually is multiple banks and companies. Right there. Pandemic is a bio attack triggered after Epstein, like with any other crisis, is being manipulated by multiple fronts to push multiple agendas. From totalitarian regime shifts, economic unrest, and divisions, people using the same destabilization measures. At this point, what separates BLM from any other extremist regime? Groups were created in other countries. Evidence of that claim, that it's a bio attack. That's what I'm looking for. And yes, you did bring up banks. So he says, that's when I was adding more to what another person said. I know, but you added to it and you said, actually, it is banks. So that tells me you believe it is banks. I can only go by what you've said here. He says, but okay, be like that. I'm just respond. All I can do is respond to what you've said. That's all I can do. And that quote was stated before the person said something about world control, at which point I mentioned the banks to contribute to what they were saying. Let's go backwards for a minute, Zompaul. Do you believe what you said, that this is a bio attack, that COVID is a bio attack, which implies man-made? Do you believe that that attack was perpetuated by multiple organizations, including banks? I think that's what you have said, and that is what I am responding to. If I have misunderstood your claims, then please re-clarify. But that is my interpretation of what you have said. And now I have asked you to provide evidence at any level to substantiate that claim. So now that we've done the reset, join me. If I have misunderstood, clarify. If I did understand, change everybody's hearts and mind right here. You have a platform. Evidence. Simple. Simple request. Let's see. I really would appreciate if you guys would not use the expletives on this program. That's just a request from me. I don't use them. I like to keep this a family show. But I'm going to share it. He says, this is Seer. I feel fine from the vaccine. The mandate is effed. No one needs to be get fired in a recession where the cost of living keeps climbing to financially destroy someone. That way is tyranny. It is fascism, corporations merging with states. It's not tyranny and it's not fascism. And there are, and I've made this very clear, states have the authority to do it. So it's not tyranny. It may be something you don't like, but it's not tyranny and fascism. States have this authority. I don't believe the federal government has this authority. And I don't think that the mandates, I should go like this. And I don't think that the mandates are helping. But I also think that an employer should have the right to say, I don't want somebody who's unvaccinated coming to my workplace and putting me and my customers at risk. So there's a lot of different issues here. But tyranny and fascism, no. Too far for me. Let's see. He says, that's a poor justification, buddy. Where is the safety net to catch people? What else is this? Listen, I've been a big fan of safety nets to catch people. In fact, I think that that's the proper path here. I don't want to take away a business owner's right to say, I want healthy vaccinated people around me. But I don't want you to have to lose your house and everything else. That's why I was a supporter, even though I am not a fan of government spending and I'm not a fan of debt. That's why I supported the stimulus programs, because I felt only the federal government could come in and provide that safety net during a pandemic. I continue to believe that if they're going to issue a mandate, that it would be responsible for them to help keep us out of a recession to provide some level of support. I think that that is reasonable. So I don't think you're being unreasonable, but that does not make this fascism or tyranny. As I said, states put restrictions on your rights all the time, and they have every legal authority to do that. It's not fascism or tyranny. If you don't like it, then you have an opportunity to fight for who you vote for and to change who represents you. But they have the authority to do that, and they restrict your rights all the time. And so I just want to make it clear that using terms like tyranny or fascism, they're not helpful. They're not true. They're not reality. And if you don't like the mandate, I understand you don't like the mandate. And as I said, I don't believe the federal government has the authority to issue a federal mandate. And it's been stopped by a judge. The Biden administration is asking for that to be lifted. But I expect and hope that goes to the Supreme Court. And I hope the Supreme Court will side that the federal government doesn't have that authority. But I don't want the authority taken away from the states. The 10th Amendment says anything not specifically mentioned in the Constitution is reserved for the states. That's how they make you do all kinds of stuff. And that's the reality. So I just think that it's important to focus on correct terminology. Seer says, how long should corporations call the shots? I'd be more specific about what you're talking about. I think it's important that when you're talking about mandates that you don't refer to everything as corporations. 85% of Americans are employed by small businesses, and that's who is calling the shots for most employees. Let's see. David says, Zom, just stating it doesn't mean it's evidence. Zom says, yep, I believe that members of interest like Fauci, Bill Gates, and their mutual connections to Epstein created a trigger for pre-existing bioasset that had its research banned consecutively, then unbanned by Obama, then Biden. There is really good information coming out, and it's in my news feed. If you look at the description to this show, you see I have a link to all the stories I talk about that where they are focusing in, and they think they might have identified patient zero. I know a lot of people want to think this came out of the Wuhan lab and that it was a result of testing that we were funding. Take a look at that story and let me know what you think. But Zom, you keep saying things. And as David says, you can say all you want, but saying a lot doesn't mean that you are proving anything. You know, fill the space with saying things. I'd like you to do is you have a platform here. You have an opportunity. You have somebody in front of you who'd gladly consider anything you want to send. And what you just keep doing is you just keep saying things. And I don't mind you saying things, but I'm going to keep asking you for supporting evidence because I'm assuming you're saying it because you would like me to consider it and believe it. If you're just saying it because you want to hear yourself say it, okay, I'll provide that platform as well. That's why we call it Down the Rabbit Hole, because there's no rules here. But if you're making an attempt to change my mind or the mind of anybody else on here, it's going to take more than saying. Let's see. Back to Seer. Why should we listen to someone with a profit motive for my health? This is, I think that, first of all, Seer, let me say that's a fair question. I'm wondering if you've ever asked that question before. Do you ask that question when you take aspirin? Do you ask that question when your doctor says, take two of these and call me in the morning? Or is it only with the vaccine? I've taken the time on this program to share with people how aspirin has worse side effects than the vaccines. And I recognize it's a little weird that there's a profit motive in medicine. I can totally accept that. But when it comes to these vaccines and any prescription, the regulations put in place were put there because of abuse. Okay, and people want to bring up past abuse of Big Pharma. And I'm like, you understand that every abuse of Big Pharma, the government passed regulations to prevent that type of abuse. So Big Pharma may have the profit motive, but then you've got the CDC and all of the FDA, and not just our CDC and not just our FDA, but the similar organizations in every country who are putting mandates, and they are doing their own requirements. As I pointed out, the UK didn't approve it because we approved it. The UK put it through their own testing and their own measures. So did the majority of other countries. So this is not about, if it was just, it's like you're setting it up that just Big Pharma is the only decider. There's no regulations on them whatsoever. And they can tell us whatever they want, and there's no regulation, there's nothing on them. It's not the case. It's not the case. And the cool thing is that the CDC and the FDA, and I've showed you this and we've gone through it, when they tell you a decision that they've come to, they don't just say this is the decision. They publish. I showed you the list that they have published for masks and why they've come to the conclusion they have with masks and the Delta variant. They don't just say, trust me. So it's not somebody with a profit motive alone. It's a profit motive and a regulatory agency. If you want to say the agency is somehow profit motivated or hiding things, then I go back to my simple request. Evidence. Simple request. Let's see, Zom Paul says, I don't operate under the pretense of amnesia. I'm just saying, just warning and calling it how I see it. Dude, my father was an NBC NCO and instructor for biodefense in the Army. This was not handled properly, okay? So that's what we call, we have all the logical fallacies here. And that's what we call, what is that one? That's what we call a hasty generalization. You've triggered a hasty generalization is a claim based on a few examples rather than substantial proof. Arguments based on a hasty generalizations are often don't hold up due to a lack of supporting evidence. The claim might be true in one case, but that doesn't mean it's always true. So we're supposed to believe this person that you know and look past the mountains of research, peer-reviewed studies being conducted in every country on the face of the earth. Look, you know the guy, and if you want to trust that guy over everything that's out there, that's your choice. As far as me, I'm going to trust the world body of evidence and knowledge and peer-reviewed studies over your father. Sorry, that's the choice I'm going to make. Let's see. Yes, the masks are so you rebreathing your bad human air, so you're more susceptible upper respiratory infection, and it creates more strain on the lungs. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. Send me the research. This is nonsense. And I'm wondering if you were concerned about surgeons before the vaccine. I had somebody the other day send me all this evidence. Remember who sent me the evidence that the mask don't stop aerosolized COVID? And they had found all these studies, and they're like, see, this is even on the CDC's website. And I'm like, yeah, I know it is. And they're like, well, then why is the CDC making you wear a mask? And I'm like, it's simple. Aerosolized COVID is not the risk. The risk is respiratory droplets that carry a much higher COVID load. So you found this one thing that you thought was an aha moment, and it wasn't. Zom says, don't have to believe it. I'm giving you input. Zom, I know you're giving me input, but are you just giving it? So, I mean, what's the goal? Honestly, I mean, between you and me, what's your goal here? You're on the show. You're typing in all this information. Are you just want to put it out there? I mean, because I would think, like, when I say things to you, if it's research that I've done or if I'm sharing it, then I would like you to consider it. And if I want you to consider it, then I'm going to take the time. And I have, since COVID started, I've taken the time to say, and this is how I operate. It doesn't have to be how you operate, but this is how I operate. I will show you how and why I came to the conclusion. I will show you the evidence that allowed me to come to that conclusion. I will consider the evidence presented that is opposing to that. So when I share something with somebody, it's not just to fill a space. It's because I would like you to think about it, because I've done a lot of time and spent a lot of time in research on it. So I just assume that that's your goal in sharing it. And if that's your goal, and the other thing that's curious to me is, if you believe this so readily, what is the evidence you have that has drawn you to that conclusion? And if you have evidence that's drawn you to that conclusion, I'd love to see it to know that if I'm off base. So that's just B. Zom says, not nonsense, and a huge reason why many people don't have to wear masks and can get doctor's orders. No, show me the study. Show me the research that says that. That's what I want to see. Otherwise, it's nonsense. Show it to me. Let's look at it. And we're down the rabbit hole, so we could look at it here live. I'd love to see it, because we've dealt with that concern many times on this show. All right, let's go back over to Podbean. Seer says, why do you accept that and not people's suspicions? Why would I accept people's suspicions? I don't understand. Why would I... when I have literally read, probably when it's all said and done, 300 to 400 studies. And I make a living off of telling people to send me their evidence, and I read their evidence and I respond to them. Why would I suddenly say, oh, I'm throwing that out because you have a suspicion? Now, I love that you're identifying it as a suspicion, and this conversation goes really different depending on how people approach it, okay? So, Seer, if you come to me and you say, listen, I can't prove it, but I have a suspicion that this is being perpetuated by banks or whatever, what am I going to say to that? You've admitted up front it's a suspicion, and so I say, okay, great. You know, if you ever get more than a suspicion, send it to me. But we can, at that point, part ways. You have a suspicion, and I'm going to continue to follow the mountains of evidence that are available. You have a suspicion? That's your path. I'm going to research voraciously. That's my path. But it's people who come on this show and they act like it's fact. They present it as fact, not as suspicion. And then, and everybody tonight has been very respectful, and I appreciate that. That's huge. But typically, the next step is when I don't accept their suspicion, then I get attacked. I'm just a shill for the mainstream media. I'm paid off by Big Pharma. Zompol, Sear, you guys have been fantastic. You're not doing any of that. But typically, that's the final destination. When people believe it so much, and what they've done is they've gone out on the interwebs and they've picked and choosed headlines and they send them to me, and I send them how and when it's been debunked or how it's being misread or how that expert is actually a doctor who was convicted and who was presenting his own wackadoo cures and is no longer considered a medical professional. So I'm going to go over here and choose actual epidemiologists who are not kicked out. They get mad at me. And they're like, you won't listen to anything. And I'm like, what have you presented to me? What, it, you know? So that's all I'm asking. If it's a suspicion for you, then I, you know? Look, there is no doubt in my mind that Big Pharma, to a certain level, makes decisions for profit. There's no doubt in my mind. But not understanding how incredibly reckless and how it would be the end of your business to be covering up information in such a globally high-profile scenario and perpetuating a vaccine that you know does major damage on people, and that's not going to be discovered in today's day and age. I just can't see people that are that dumb. That doesn't make sense. It's like on the one hand saying they are these incredible evil geniuses, but they are so stupid on the other hand that they're just going to cover something up like that, believing that it would never come out, when it's a global pandemic, when every government is watching, every organization is watching. It's too much for me to believe. It's beyond comprehension to think that they would be that dumb, when the truth usually is much simpler. And the truth is that with their profit motive and with the money they received for the government, they all rushed to find a vaccine so that, yeah, they could get rich. But that vaccine needed to go through the approval processes, the normal everyday approval processes. So it would be foolish to try and hide that. Find the answer. Find the vaccine, and yeah, let's all get wealthy on the health of other people. That, to me, is the scenario that is backed up by the evidence and backed up, and that is reasonable. The other one is that we're going to cut all these corners. We're going to push out a vaccine that is actually killing people or hurting people. We're going to hope the CDC doesn't notice, or the CDC and the FDA are bought off. They're bought and paid for. And by the way, that would have to mean Trump is bought and paid for, and because he's the one who started that whole process and he got the vaccine, so he's in on it. And that all the doctors of the world and all the epidemiologists are in. At some point, it's just like, oh my gosh, which is the one that is more likely here? So that's the calculation that I go through in my mind. It's like, how could it possibly be this other thing? It's like people who believe that we didn't go to the moon, and they don't understand that what we didn't have the technology to do back then, was to fake a live production of the moon landing. That's the technology we didn't have. But it's easier to believe that we faked it with technology we didn't have than we actually made it happen with technology that we did have. Okay, all right. All right. Let's see, back to Podbean and Seer. You look past the weirdness of the profit motive in the health sector. No, I didn't look past it. I just talked about it. And how I think that things played out. Let's see. Seer says no one should get fired in a recession like this. I don't believe that. Seer, I don't believe that. Businesses are not a charity. Businesses are not a social program. Businesses are not run based upon these types of factors. And to say that a business has to keep hiring somebody, that is an unfunded, unsustainable mandate from the government. My belief is that if the government is going to put in things that will cause people to get fired, or they're going to put in mandates that make people lose their jobs, like we saw in the restaurant sector and other places, then they should turn around and provide support during that time. Government should, not businesses. Not businesses, because businesses are not an empty piggy bank. They're just not. Now, one of the things that the government did to help businesses during this time was to provide the PPP loans. And so that's a place that I thought was great. And I know many business owners who took advantage of those, and they were able to keep their employees hired during that whole time. That was a government program, not a business program. Businesses need to be able to make choices for themselves. Business rights in our society are just as important as individual rights. And I think people miss that. So again, if you believe that nobody should be evicted from their home right now, then you need to provide some level of support to landlords to where they can weather that storm. Not just believe that landlords are this fountain of cash and they can bear the brunt of it. You've got to give them away. To me, that's how it should be handled. So in a way we agree with each other, we just have a different approach. Let's see. Seer says liberalism is not healthy. Market fundamentalism kills us. Well, I'm a conservative. And as a conservative, I believe in the rights of business owners as much as I believe in individual rights. And I think that the liberal tendency to treat business owners like a social welfare piggy bank is very dangerous. We had a discussion about this the other night about a living wage, if you want to go back and listen to it. Seer says individual rights are business rights, buddy. They're different. And they clash against each other sometimes. So like for, and you've come up with a perfect example saying nobody should be fired during a pandemic. Well, what if I'm an employer and you're not performing your job functions? Don't I have a right to fire you? What if I'm an employer and I'm immunocompromised? And so I can't get the vaccine. And so I'm going to say to all my employees, if you want to work here, you need to get the vaccine. As a business owner, I should have a right to make that decision. And does that clash with your right to be employed? Well, you don't have a right to be employed by the business you choose. You don't have that right. That right doesn't exist. So, they are not the same, in my opinion. Let's see. Steve Beard on YouTube. Hey, haven't seen you here before, Steve. Steve says, my company has 120 employees. I will cut employment and tell OSHA to kiss my... Yeah. Steve says, are you serious? When you guys post, I need you to kind of rephrase what you're responding to. because we move around, especially during the rabbit hole. So when I go back and look at your text, it's hard for me to know what you're saying. Are you serious about? Jean-Paul says businesses are treated like an entity. They look out for themselves. Yeah. Yeah, they do. You wouldn't? Steve says, FYI, OSHA has no control of my life and after I leave the job site. Jean-Paul says, they miss it because they don't understand business law or how corporations work. They're treated like that because controlling shareholders, CEOs, etc. do determine the direction of the businesses, which it seems its own entity. So when looking at the morality and stance of that entity, it ultimately falls on the controlling heads of the company. Let's go back to Podbean. Ooh, you're falling into the a critical mistake there, Seer. He says, "Where are they in the Constitution?" I'm just curious, Seer. Do you think the Constitution defines all your rights? Do you? Think about it for a minute. Does the Constitution define all your rights? No. Was the Constitution ever designed to define all of your rights? No. In fact, when the Bill of Rights was written, it was written to control the power of government, not to define your rights. In fact, there were many prominent founding fathers who didn't want the Bill of Rights for fear that one day people would define it as your only rights. Your rights are not defined by the Constitution. The Constitution protects certain rights, but your rights are whatever your state constitution defines them as and whatever you have right now that you're allowed to do right now is a right. Now, that doesn't mean it can't be taken away, but right now, you're allowed to do it. So a lot of these things we're talking about are defined by state constitutions and state laws. And the state laws indicate what your rights are as a business, not the Constitution. So for example, here in Utah, we're a right to work state. There are other states that believe you're not a right to work state. But in the state of Utah, as an employer, you have the right, as defined by our government, to fire somebody for any reason. That is a business right. And I am a proponent of business rights as a conservative and free markets and capitalism. And I do believe during a pandemic that those things change, but that the burden for those changes should not be put on the employer. They should be carried by the government. So that's where I stand. But the Constitution does not define your rights. The Constitution just defines certain protectable rights that no state can infringe upon. Let's see here. Oh, I'm doing the wrong thing. He says, Seer says, okay, you didn't tell me how business and individual rights differ. I feel like that's pretty... Hang on, I got to fix my screen here. Business rights pertain to businesses. Individual rights pertain to individuals. What is the... I'm not sure I understand what the conflict there in the definition is. Seer says, what burdens does our government really carry besides keeping the war machine going? Well, during the pandemic, our government took on a lot of much needed burdens. They sought to help people who were unemployed. Basically, they did what I thought they should do. And that is, okay, we're going to put all these mandates on businesses during a pandemic to stop the health crisis. But we recognize that those mandates are going to put undue burden on everybody. And so we're also going to pass programs and measures to help them. So they assumed a huge burden, Sear. They took on the burden for the unemployed. They took on the burden with PPP loans to keep people employed. They did all kinds of stuff to try and help people who were being affected by their mandates. And I supported all of it. Let's see here, more of your statements. Steve says, a vaccine mandate may be applied for military, DOG, DOJ, DOE, or other federal employees. This will be a serious problem for... can't see the rest of your comment. But I agree, Steve. The federal government has the authority to make their own employees get the vaccine. Members of the military get the vaccine. By the way, any member of the military who's complaining they have to get vaccinated, there are a whole list of vaccinations you had to get long before this. So I don't know why this one's any different. The federal government can also put the mandate on any contractors. So anybody who wants to do business with them. So I agree with you, Steve. That is their constitutional authority. I do not believe they have constitutional authority to mandate businesses within each state to get the vaccine. Let's see. Zom says, so if a company chooses to impose themselves against the right of others over mandates that have been shown to increase COVID rates. Okay, you're still spouting nonsense, Zom Paul. And I don't like to use that term, but I'm using it. Show me mandates that have shown to increase COVID rates. Show me that. Can't blame for leaving or have feelings. While a company has a right to do X, a person has a right to feel X in return. You can feel it all you want. But again, we get confused about what our rights are and what business rights are. You cannot like the reason that an employer decided to terminate you, but that doesn't mean they don't have the right to terminate you. You cannot like it. You can hate it. Just like you have free speech, but you're not immune from the consequences of free speech. People think that free speech means you can say anything you want at work. No, you can't. If you're a cashier at work and you're a vegan and you think that people who buy meat are evil and they're destroying the planet, and you decide to share that with every customer who puts their food across the belt, you're not going to be employed. And you might say, that's a violation of my free speech. It's not. It's not. And that business has a right to make that choice for their business. And that's just reality. Zom Paul says, if companies want to be an extension of the Biden administration to attempt to starve people into complying to their demands, then that's them. I don't know any companies that are putting in mandates because of Biden, unless they feel forced. I know of companies that have had mandates in place before Biden, and they have that choice as well. Like if you want to go to a Utah Jazz game, you have to show proof of vaccination or a test. And that's their right to do so. Is that being complicit with Biden? I don't think so. They're not saying we support his mandate. Maybe they have, but they're saying we want our own mandate. And they have a right to do that. And I believe that right should be protected. Steve says a vaccine mandate will create a problem causing implications of the draft. Let's see, Steve Beard, FYI, former military, everyone I know will not join the military because of this mandate. Well, I don't know about everyone that you know. I haven't seen local recruiting numbers. Everybody is not refusing the mandate. In fact, I think the government just reported that 90% of all of the government employees have gotten the vaccine as a result of the mandate. There will be a percentage, but I don't think everyone is the correct place. And if they get to a point where they can't recruit enough people, they're going to have to rethink this. But I mean, anybody who thinks that they were joining the military and not going to have to get every vaccine on the planet already. That was already a mandate. There's already been a vaccine mandate in the military for as long as vaccines have been around. This is nothing new. So suddenly this one means you're not going to join. Okay. All right. That's your choice. But to me, it's kind of a denial of the history of the military. John Paul says, joining the military means you're a guinea pig for life, especially if you're disabled and have to go to the VA. Let's see. Steve says, I've worked with classified projects as a contractor for the DOE the last 15 years. I've been told by LLNL that if I don't take the vaccine, I am out of a job. Yeah. Okay, not reading the Zompaul Hitler comment. Not sure why that's coming up. Travis says, when my son joined the Navy, he got a handful of vaccines on day one. Yeah, it's nothing new here. Steve says, FYI, I'm done with all of this. Let's go back to Podbean. Isn't it cool that I figured out how to put Podbean comments up here? Let's see. Seer says, where are they? Tell me the laws stating the legal differences. All right, you want me to quote law here? Okay, Seer, this is a bit much. No, I'm not going to do that, but it's pretty clear that businesses have rights and employees have rights, and sometimes they butt up against each other. Just like you have a right to free speech, but you don't have a right to free speech in my place of employment, okay? Perfect example. You have your right, free speech, and then I have the right to fire you if you are exercising that free speech in a way that I don't like at my business. That's my right. And then you can go outside and you can put up a hold up a sign and you can exercise your free speech, and that's your right. Okay. If that's not a good enough illustration, then I can't help you. Let's see what else here. Let's get Podbean out of the way. John Paul says that comment was in regards to 90% vax rate of the military. Oh, the Jew comment? Stop. That's to me, that comment is ridiculous. Zom says, how many have been dishonorably discharged? I don't know the answer to that. David says, chapter 34 of the Utah Code. David, willing to do what I'm not willing to do. Should we? We're going down the rabbit hole here. Let's see here. I'm not going to go through it, but you can look it up at your leisure, Seer, if you want. Let's see. Zom Paul says, as far as free speech, sometimes that extends into the personal life of the employee. Yeah, you're exactly right. So for example, if we've seen this a lot lately, we've seen these Karens, as they're called, who make a scene in a restaurant or a grocery store about wearing a mask, and then they get wild and they make all these claims, or we've seen people making racist comments in public or whatever, and then their employer finds out about it and the employer terminates them. You had your free speech, but free speech doesn't mean that the employer doesn't have a right to fire you. And basically, the employer is saying it reflects badly on our business now if we continue to employ you. It will affect our business if we continue to do so. So another great example of how you have a freedom of speech, but a business does not have a mandate to employ you. They have a freedom to employ who they want. Let's see. Zampal says employees are representatives of the company. Yeah, and, you know, companies take that at different levels. So if you're a high-profile company, that's different than, you know, lower-profile companies. But I can tell you, for example, I've been employed as a talk radio show host for 20 years. I worked for CBS for 10 years, and I worked for Bonneville Broadcasting for 10 years. I was under contract for all 20 of those years. In my contract, it was clearly stated that if I did anything that reflected poorly upon the company, and it was pretty broad, that I could be terminated for cause if that was the case. Because I was pretty, I'm the voice of the company. I'm on the radio every single day sharing my thoughts and opinions. And if I end up on one of these videos where I'm cussing somebody out or using racial epithets or something else, I'll be gone like that. Like that. Steve Beard says this vaccine mandate is going to cause serious problems with shipping and delivery, just a note. Well, as if shipping and delivery doesn't already have a problem. This is why I think that it was a mistake for Biden to put in the mandates. I think he should have left it on a state level, and I think the federal government getting involved is going to do more harm than good. And Steve, I think that you are bringing that point up. And by the way, Biden knows it. He's openly admitted it. Why did they wait? Why did they say we'll put in the mandate after January 4th? He put it in because he recognizes that putting it in during the holidays is going to have a huge impact on shipping and commerce and everything else. So he knows the impact it's going to have. So again, I think it's misguided. I think it's unconstitutional. I hope it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court so we can get clarity on it. But states have the authority to do it, and businesses have the authority to do it. Zom says, like Cosmo Kramer. I love it. Anytime somebody can bring up Cosmo Kramer on this program. Let's see. Zampal says Biden flip-flops based upon which pants leg he is poop rolls down. The whole flip-flopping claim, I hate the word flip-flop. If you didn't think Trump flip-flopped on a regular basis, I don't know what you were watching. Typically, when flip-flop is used, it's when somebody changes an opinion back and forth for political gain. I don't like flip-flop when it's used when somebody changes their opinion based upon new information. So, for example, our own Chris Stewart here in the state of Utah accused the CDC of flip-flopping when they reversed their mask mandates or their mask recommendations. And he said they're losing credibility because they flip-flopped. And this was an outrageous claim and a dangerous claim and an ignorant claim by Chris Stewart. Because they were not flip-flopping. What they were doing was issuing new guidance based upon new research, based upon a new variant. And he decided to turn it political and made it about Biden's CDC. People who are politicizing this vaccine and this mandate for political gain are choosing life over death, in my opinion. It's one thing when you flip-flop and you get political over a tax cut or a social program. It's entirely another when you do it over a deadly virus. And I believe it's evil when you're doing it over a deadly virus. Let's see. Steve says, oh, just so you know, I also support a major shipping and delivery manufacturer that supports this industry. Yeah. The supply chain issue is huge. What did Biden just did something I thought was interesting. Hang on. Oh, yeah, here it is. What do you guys think about this? I'm mixed on this. President Biden to announce release of oil from Strategic Petroleum Reserve. I'm mixed on this. A White House official confirmed to CBS News that President Joe Biden will announce on Tuesday a plan to release 50 million barrels of oil from the U.S. emergency stockpile just before the Thanksgiving holiday. I'm mixed because, yeah, Well, I don't know. Tell me what you guys think. I'm mixed. I feel like the emergency is not big enough. I have told you that I want him to focus on supply chain and fixing the shipping issues and the dock issues. And Steve, you can probably speak to that much better than I can. And you could probably speak to the gas prices better than I can. This seems like a direct response to the claims that are sticking, that shouldn't be sticking, that the fuel prices are high because of a decision that Biden made, which is nonsense. The fuel prices would be just as high if Trump was in place. And in fact, if you go back to Trump's presidency, you'll see them this high. This is a direct result of supply chain and pandemic issues. But we want to all get political hay out of this. And so, but again, I'm mixed on this. Is this a political ploy to just bring down gas prices temporarily? I'm sure this will help some people. I don't think it helps in time for the holidays. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you guys think? Jean-Paul joining us says, virus is here to stay. My concern on the virus is the contamination rate after people getting shots and perpetuity of releasing it into the public by mandating vaccines. There's absolutely zero way to stop the pandemic by injecting people with it that has potential to be contagious. Disagree. Disagree again with you, Jean-Paul. What you're doing is you're saying that because there are breakthrough cases, then that means we can't reduce it or slow it down. I mean, I guess, well, maybe I'm reading that wrong. I mean, yes, because there are breakthrough cases, does that mean that we can get rid of it? No. But remember, the biggest issue here, or the two biggest issues for me, are the death rate and the impact on our healthcare system, okay? And so if getting people to get vaccinated doesn't get rid of the virus is still around, there's no doubt it will reduce deaths. That even in breakthrough cases, the death rate goes way down, way down. So did you get rid of the virus? No, you didn't. But did you drive the death rate down? Yeah, you drove it down dramatically. That's a good thing. That's a worthy goal. And not only that, I've shared with you that if this virus, if we didn't have the shutdowns, if we didn't have the masks, if we didn't have the vaccine, our healthcare system would have been overwhelmed and the death rate would have gone way up. One of the reasons the death rate is what it is because we save people's lives all the time in hospitals. When hospitals fill up, you can't save those people. So people are like, oh, it only had this percentage of deaths. Yeah, and at that percentage, after we shut the country down, made everybody wear masks and social distance, and we had vaccines, our healthcare system almost broke. Can you imagine if we didn't have the social distancing and the masks and the vaccines? Even right now in New Mexico, several other states, they are still maxed out. In fact, I think I have that story here. I might have deselected it here. Here we go, right here. Now, this is with mandates, shutdowns, masks. Let's see, Michigan, Minnesota, New Mexico leading the nation in cases. And I did an interview the other day. You guys know that I host other podcasts. People pay me to host their podcasts. And one of them is where I interview doctors who have received awards. And I was talking to a plastic surgeon yesterday. And I asked her, how has the pandemic impacted you? And she does reconstructive surgery for women that have had mastectomies from breast cancer. And she says it has completely shut us down. People can't get the treatment. They can't get the services. And one of the reasons they can't is because there are no supplies. They cannot get the medical supplies and equipment necessary because all of it is going to COVID right now. All of it is going to COVID. This nation, and people don't understand, has been on the brink of a healthcare shutdown. And so has the UK, and so has Germany, and so has so many of these other countries. And it was all after massive shutdown measures. if we had not done that, and if we don't find a way to at least make it so fewer people are hospitalized, then we're going to have a healthcare crisis for years to come. So is the vaccine perfect? No. Can you still have breakthrough cases? Yes. But when you have breakthrough cases, the death rate goes way down and the hospitalization goes way down, which means hospitals can get back to the issue of providing other care. So it's not an either or. It's how much can we improve things? Let's see. Steve says, John Paul says, because there's breakthrough cases and mandating more of the public to get it creates its own cycle. We're playing with fire. I don't understand, Zom. Maybe you better be more specific. That doesn't make any sense to me. If you have, right now, the efficacy rate is for some of these vaccines is at 90%. So that means you have a 10% breakthrough rate. But 90% of the time, it's 100% effective. So you have a 10% breakthrough rate. But in that 10% rate, the death and hospitalization rate goes way down. So what is the cycle you're creating? 85 to 90% don't get it again. The breakthrough cases, they don't get hospitalized and they don't die. So what is the cycle you're talking about? I don't understand. Let's see. Zom says, I think it would have been less, honestly. Bear in mind it's released now that a year ago, 95% of deaths were from people who had other contributing issues. Oh, you love to throw out statistics that are just so, so misleading. So misleading. Yes, people who have comorbidities have a higher chance of death from COVID. Yes, the older you are, you have a higher chance of dying. Why? Because you have comorbidities. Yes, we know that the younger you get, the less chance we have. That doesn't change anything. That doesn't change the death rate. And it doesn't change the fact that when you're vaccinated, your chance of hospitalization and dying from comorbidity goes way down. So you're throwing these things out that don't really change anything. Getting people vaccinated reduces the spread. It reduces hospitalization. It reduces death. Seems like a no-brainer. And if you think it would have been less if we didn't do all the shutdowns, if that's what you're saying, talk to the Swiss who tried herd immunity. And they were all excited about herd immunity. And they're like, we're just going to let this thing go through our country. Do you know what they call that now? Do you know what they've classified their experiment as? Abject failure. You know what they followed that up with? Extreme lockdown measures, which flatten the curve, and then mandates. And you know what they've done now? They've actually released, they've taken away all mandates. Do you know why they took away all mandates? Because they got up to 80% vaccination rate. It's not creating a cycle in Norway and Sweden. It's not creating a cycle. It's actually allowing them to return to work. Any country that has gotten up to an 80% vaccination rate is now reopening 100%. It's not creating some cycle where things are getting worse. It's actually allowing them to live normal again. Steve says, hey, did you take the vaccine? Are you asking me, Steve? Because yes, I am vaccinated and I will probably get the booster here pretty soon. Zom says, LOL, you pretend the vaccinated don't catch it anyways and don't end up dying. Zom, I don't pretend anything. I don't pretend anything. Okay? It is known scientific research, peer-reviewed fact that breakthrough cases have a much lower death rate and a much lower hospitalization rate. you seem to want to pretend that because there are breakthrough cases, that that somehow means we shouldn't have vaccinations at all. No. We've always known there would be breakthrough cases. From day one that they announced that these vaccines were coming out, we have known, they told us, one had a 93% efficacy rate. That would mean you'd have 7% breakthrough. The other one had an 80% efficacy rate. That would mean you'd have 13% breakthrough. The question is, what happens when there's breakthrough? And all research, not pretend, says the death rate goes way down and the hospitalization rate goes down in breakthrough cases. I don't need to pretend anything. That's reality. Unless you have evidence to show it's different. David says, that's not what breakthrough cases mean. Breakthrough cases mean you get the virus in spite of the vaccine, not from it. Thank you, David. Is that what Zom is saying? Zom, are you suggesting that people are getting the virus from the vaccine? Is that what you're suggesting? Because that is not true in any case. Not one. Not one. The vaccine does not contain the virus. It's not like previous versions of vaccinations where you were given a dormant version of the virus. This is not that. This contains no COVID. People are not getting COVID from the vaccine. David, it is exactly right. A breakthrough case means you got the vaccine, but you got the virus again anyway. That's a breakthrough case, not that you got the virus from the vaccine. Okay, this is not a question in science and medical research. Let's see. Steve saying, who are you saying is talking BS or saying you're full of you know what? If you're saying that to me, put your money where your mouth is and prove it. Tell me what I've said that is wrong. Show me the evidence that it's wrong. I'm simple. Let's see. Zom says, you're somehow not understanding that by giving someone something that makes a percentage of them contagious with a virus is supplying the issue. Zom, you've got it all wrong. You could not be more wrong. A breakthrough case is not from the vaccine. This is not happening. You have completely misunderstood the science and what a breakthrough case is. Nobody, and I challenge you to prove me wrong on this. Nobody is getting COVID from the vaccine. Nobody. It is not possible. The vaccine does not have any COVID in it. The vaccine has RNA instructions. It does not have COVID. Breakthrough cases simply mean you got the virus, you got the vaccine, but then later on you got the virus. That's what a breakthrough case is. We are not giving people COVID viruses. Please understand this. This is irrefutable. This is one of the basic things about this vaccine. You cannot get COVID from the vaccine. I don't know how many times I can prove it. Okay, here we go. So now the attacks. I knew we were going to get there, Zompaul. So now it's about character. Okay, dude, you're a propaganda pusher. Okay, so there we go. We got there. I told you we would get there. Now it's about my character. He says, okay, propaganda pusher, what is the real problem? Is idiotic people that want to potentially be a Typhoid Mary. Dude, it does cause a percentage to become contagious. You're no better than a Don Lemons. Peace out. Prove it, Zompaul. Prove it. Don't make your personal attack and run away. Prove it. Show me one verifiable source that people are catching COVID from the vaccine. That is, out of all the claims that I've heard on this show, out of all the things that I have refuted over the last year, that is the biggest piece of nonsense. So put up, or you're the one spreading propaganda and lies. But you've probably already checked out. Got your personal attack in, which I already said would happen. Everybody here knows I said it would happen. Even after I congratulated you for not doing it, you still went there. It's just sad. It's just sad. When you get challenged, you can't provide any evidence, so you attack and run. And I'm the one who's the problem. Got Gash says your audio and video are desynced, by the way. Yeah, I got a couple of people said that tonight. It might be my internet connection. I'll have to check. Let me know, anybody else that's still listening, is the audio and the video synced? Or is it just a connection problem on some people's end? If it is my problem, I'd be glad to know it. David says it's synced for me. So yeah, it could be, you know, we're on the internet, bandwidth. Hit refresh and maybe it will stop. Is Zom Paul, are you still there? Or did you attack and run? You all witnessed it, right? You all saw it happening. That's the way it always ends. Can't provide an ounce of evidence, but if you disagree with them, then it's you. I'm the problem. It's a good thing I've dealt with this for 20 years, and I know how to laugh about it. Any other thoughts or questions as we go down the rabbit hole? Goth Gash, haven't seen you here before, so thanks for joining us. Be sure to follow if you want to have more honest discussions about the issues of the day. Sheldon joining us says, one of the problems what people I have talked to have been defining this is a vaccine when they think it should be considered a treatment. Yeah, I just, you know, for anybody to be making the claim that the vaccine is giving people the virus, that demonstrates to me they truly have no knowledge of this vaccine. Truly. Because that's the most basic. That's the most basic part, and one of the coolest parts about this vaccine is it has no virus in it. That's cool. That's really cool. Okay, anything else? How long have we been going, friends? Okay, 2.5 hours. just so you know, I'm not going to be doing a show on Thursday night. I'm sure you'll forgive me. It's Thanksgiving, so I will catch you guys back on Tuesday. Do me a favor, go to jmcfarland.com and become a member. You can support us for $5 or more a month, and there's some great benefits that come from that. You can also, and Chris already did this tonight, you can send Facebook stars now if you want to do that. That's a nice way to help us out and help support this broadcast. At any rate, I appreciate your time tonight. I appreciate you listening. I don't see any other comments coming through. So I will put out the nice warm fire behind me. And we will reconvene next Tuesday night. I'm here Tuesday and Thursday night live. And then I release pre-recorded content throughout the week. So check it out on Facebook. Follow me on Facebook, YouTube. All of those great places. And everybody, with that, I will let you have a wonderful night, and I will talk to you next week sometime.